Blog Talk Radio.
That just came out of me. Good morning, Recruiterville! February 12th, 2014. Friday is Valentine's Day. Now, I'll get right to my point. The other day, I saw an article by my good friend, Lisa Rokusek. You know, I've never heard her name pronounced, but I'm assuming that's how you say it. Lisa Rokusek. The article is on recruitingblogs.com, and here is what she said. She said many recruiters suffer from a mental disease, and what is that disease called? You'll never guess. It's called unearned certainty. I've never heard of it before, but she says the recruiting business is abounding. Sorry, I forgot what I wanted to say. This unearned certainty is a strange term for me, but it's all over the place. In our business, she says. But what does it mean? Here's what it means. It means ignorant people. That's us. Ignorant people think they know more than they do. And how does she know that? Well, Lisa is a headhunter. And here's what she says about herself. She says she's always worked for tiny little companies with no budgets for support staff and tools, but somehow she's always managed to compete with the big guys, and that's because of how she reads a resume. Time and again, she says, she'll look at a resume that some other recruiter has already seen and rejected. The other recruiter might have already spoken to the candidate and rejected him, but she'll call that candidate and present him to the client, and he'll be the person that gets hired. Now, that can mean two things. Number one, the resume doesn't slap you in the face with the information you need. And number two, lots of recruiters are just plain ignorant. Ignorant. They don't understand what they're looking for. And Lisa has made a living by profiting from their mistakes. So which one is it? What does Lisa say? Problem, a bad resume, or a bad recruiter? I got to tell you, she doesn't complain. She doesn't complain about the resumes. She says recruiters have tunnel vision, and here's why. Our conscious minds are limited. So when a hiring manager tells you what she's looking for, not all of the relevant information is going to come into her mind at that time. Now, if the recruiter really understands the role, she'll be able to fill in the gaps herself, right? But recruiters are not members of the professions they're recruiting for. They aren't accountants or engineers or IT programmers. So what happens? They take a slavish approach to the information the hiring manager gives them, and they rule out anyone who isn't an obvious fit. So all Lisa has to do is stay current with the profession she's recruiting for, and she can see what these robots don't. Yeah, she'll present people who are outside of the formal job description, and the hiring manager will say, hey, I like that, even though he didn't say so when he gave the recruiters their marching orders. The problem is those other recruiters have unfounded certainty. They think they know what the hiring manager wants when they really don't. And, you know, there's one show that actually challenges recruiters to see if they actually know
just
as much
one
as they think they do. Yeah, and Jerry, what show is that?
The one and only Recruiting for giving me the opportunity to be on this show each week with you, a legend in the global social recruiting community. Thank you, Animal.
I like to hear that. Thank you, Jerry. You know,
yes.
I didn't tell Lisa I was tempted to tell Lisa I was going to talk about her today, but I didn't want to choke, so I didn't. I got a feeling no matter what I said, it might not have been good enough. It might not have explained things the way she wanted them explained, but I think I did a fantastic job.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you did a great job.
Thank you. Is there anything that we should talk about before I bring on the guest?
No.
No. Okay, well, you know, the big news this week that we're not really going to talk about today, maybe another time, is that social recruiting does not exist. It's a hoax, and everybody said so. There was three different separate conversations about it yesterday. Recruiters Online, recruiting blogs, and SourceCon, everybody says it does not exist. And with that, let me bring on our guest today, Joshua Brents. Josh, are you here?
I am here. I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Thank goodness. It's a miracle. Okay. Okay. So let me just say
you
that.
Know,
go ahead. One sec. What do you want to say, Josh?
Well, I was going to say, I've first-time caller, long-time listener. I dig the intro music. I'm wondering, so we can appropriately set up the next 60 minutes or so, I'm hoping for maybe a little AC/DC Thunderstruck, maybe a little Hell's Bells.
If you would have told me in advance, I could have, you know, prepared for you, but don't tell me once you're on the show. What am I going to go? Hold on, I'm going to the files. Jerry will talk to you. Forget about it. Come on.
I'm joking.
All right, who is this guy?
His name is Josh, Joshbrence. And I'm just going to do an introduction of him because I have to ridicule something he's done online. This is what it says. This is what it says about Josh on Bullhorn Reach: creative, energetic, dynamic, and results-oriented talent acquisition professional with 12 years of full-cycle recruiting experience across multiple industries in both agency and corporate sectors. Possesses a strong work ethic and excellent oral, written, and interpersonal skills with a premium on providing outstanding customer service, blah, 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 blah. That's terrible. You threw in every hack word anyone can imagine. That's the garbage we don't want to see when we look at
hack
a resume
bingo,
or an online profile. Where'd you get the nerve to put that up about yourself?
I
is
did it
SEO
just
gold.
To ruffle your feathers.
Yeah.
Oh, you put that
there
for
scrappy.
Me. Yeah.
I like it.
Okay.
Just,
tell us
just
what
for
you,
Animal. Just for you.
Okay, just so everyone knows, I had to tell this guy how to write his Twitter bio properly yesterday, but he was smart enough to change it when I did. So you tell us who you are.
Portable generators.
Okay, wait. So his current Twitter bio, Animal, you directed that?
Generac understands your home is
who's
an investment.
Who's playing that?
We were the first leader in the
on hold.
Standby
it's unbelievable.
Market with the Guardian series of
it's not me.
Every week.
There
we go.
Area code 262. 262, who's that? What area code is that, 262?
Not here. Denver area is 720 and 303.
Okay.
Not Seattle.
Okay. So tell us who you are and what you do. Go ahead.
Who I am, what I do. Okay. Well, where to start? So bio, I actually originally went to school for accounting. I understood numbers but hated the work. Career counselor said, hey, take a look at HR management courses, and I've never looked back. I started my career as a true generalist, doing a little bit of everything in the world of HR, but migrated to recruiting because the days I went home having completed a full day of interviews were the days I went home with the biggest smile. Is that going to make you throw up yet?
No, I like that.
Okay. Most of my experience has been in-house. Of my 14 or so years of experience, only 2 years were on the agency side with one of the giants out there with RHI. Have recruited for a little bit of everything. The industries I've been in, health human services, telecom, med device, and now IT consulting, and have hired everything from bean counters up to the director level, technical individuals, both in-house kind of IT infrastructure development types, as well as product development engineers.
You have unfounded certainty?
What's that?
Do you have unfounded certainty? It abounds in our industry.
Unfounded certainty?
Yeah, you didn't listen to my intro. You didn't listen to the intro. You know, I really worked hard on it. I worked hard on that. Let me ask you an easier question. Almost every one of your LinkedIn recommendations say that you're a very happy guy who's always got a smile on his face. Is that just natural with you, or do you force yourself to be pleasant?
No. I think it comes naturally. I think there's nothing wrong with being kind of the good guy. I have a positive outlook on life. Why life's too short not to smile and have a good time. You have to enjoy what you're doing. And if you can't have a little bit of fun in the office and smile, don't come in.
People who aren't naturally smiley like you, what should they do?
Well, you know, I don't think they need to work on it. There's a place for everybody out there, but I tend to just kill those individuals with kindness. I know that's going to sound cheesy, but a smile and a good morning goes a long way.
Yeah, okay.
You're the annoying extra cheery guy in the morning, aren't you? Whistling on your way in.
Yeah,
that's
I'm kind
you.
Of sunshine.
I know you.
Yeah, that's why I work at home a lot.
I know you. But that's cool.
I've been referred to as sunshine on a stick quite a few
times.
Yeah.
Do you know Reed Creamer?
Yeah.
Do you know
Not
Reed Creamer?
Kind of
he's one of the top IT recruiters in Denver.
This is true.
I thought maybe you would know him.
Okay, yep. He's on the line. Yeah, Jerry's starting to curry some kind of favor with somebody. I don't know why.
No, I'm ready for him to start open up our office in Denver.
Oh, okay.
And you would think the guy would have some initiative. Reed, if you're listening, I'm telling you, dude, I know the quagmire you're stuck in. Reach out to me. I can get you out. I can get you out of that.
Okay.
Free yourself, butterfly.
This is the most important. We're really getting into the show now. How many people did you recruit on Twitter last year, Josh?
You ready for this one? You want a drum roll first?
Yeah.
Zero. Zero.
Really? And how many
Zero.
Did you try to recruit? Did you try?
As of recently, absolutely. I'm kind of a recent Twitter Twitter user. It's really been over the last year that I started using the tool. I'd like to say I try to keep up, with the push from just being on the phone all day to getting to more of the digital realm. And Twitter's my kind of my next one of my next conquests. One of my next goals is to hire somebody from Twitter.
How long have you been posting on Twitter? Your jobs and your chit chat. How long? A year? You said a full year.
I'd say about a year, probably
okay, and
realistically,
no
aggressively
no
in the last 6 months.
No results.
No results.
Is that what you're telling
no
me?
Results.
Listen to me, okay? I know when to cut you off, okay? So you have no results. Have you had any bites, like this person might be good and they didn't get placed, or just nobody? Nil.
Working on it. So honestly, part of the reason I was actually really excited to be a guest here is to see how much this could help in expanding my influence on Twitter. One guy that I do follow pretty religiously, especially as of late, is Mr. Glenn Cathy, who I think you want to try and get on the show one of these days. But
he refused to come on the show. I just want everyone to know he refused. He will not come on the show. I've asked him years ago. He won't come on the show, okay? Next question. How many people did you recruit on Facebook last year?
Zero.
Zero.
Dude.
Did you try?
Have I tried? Yes. I suppose I'm not opposed to it, but truly if I don't know. I use my Facebook account for strictly personal. And even if I was approached about a job via Facebook, I wouldn't take offense to it, but I could see how some people would take offense to it. So I just keep personal and professional separate there, and I only use Facebook for personal.
Yeah, okay, I've got something to tell you. If you should listen to last week's interview, because I think you might be behind the times.
I actually did listen to it, and I was impressed. And I know you converted Jerry during the call. What was his name, Martin?
Martin
did a good job of kind of explaining that tool
okay,
they have.
Okay, we're moving on. Okay, you don't have to review the show for me. I just told you to make sure
you
review it, okay?
Man, I'm getting shut down here. Okay. Shut down. No love.
Okay. You got good sound,
you
though.
You have
Let
listened to the
you.
Show, right?
Yeah, he pretty good listened the last few days.
Is it time for the guest to answer random questions from the audience?
If they want, does anybody have a quick question for this guy? The guy before I get into mine? Go ahead.
Do you believe in the power of social recruitment?
He just said no.
Well, no. Hey, wait a second. Yes and no. So I know it's part of a bigger discussion that you were just talking about, but I feel like recruitment is recruitment. Period. It's still about getting out there.
Are you from the UK then?
Am I from the UK? Absolutely not.
Are you global?
You just, Amy, see how easily people want to jump on the word, okay, to be in the crowd? Yeah, I'll talk recruitment with you.
Hold on. Allison Thomas.
Right,
by the way, Allison, I might be the one. I got to confess, she says somebody's breathing heavily on the show. I've been hearing it, too. But maybe it's me. I'm going to move my my mic away from my mouth. So if I've been doing that, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Is A-Stringer back?
I don't
think
so.
Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead, Josh. Answer Amy's question if you can.
So, yes, am I trying to get into more social recruiting? That's my dive into Twitter over the last 6 months.
I got one big tip for you on Twitter, and I'm going to lay this on you.
Let's hear it, Jerry.
Shut it off.
Shut it off.
Crap. It will... My screwing around on Twitter for the several years that I was there extensively, I'm guessing probably cost me $500,000 to $800,000 in just lost revenue.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? So he answered the social recruiting question. Why ask it right after?
Why did you leave Robert Half so soon?
You know, that world wasn't for me. I actually was all three levels of individual that Robert Half could ever go after. I was originally an account temp. I was one of their temps in college. I was a customer, and then I became an employee. You know, I'm a recruiter through and through, and I think my focus is just more on I fit better in-house. The recruiting the Robert Half recruiting model, it works for them, kind of the full desk operation where you go from recruiting to sales to marketing and kind of filter throughout it. I excelled at the recruiting piece. I was terrible at the sales piece. That just wasn't the environment for me.
Okay,
now I got some questions. And so if people have good questions, just speak up, okay? But don't ask the same questions I just asked. Now, listen, there's a guy, I don't think he's a recruiter. His name is Sean Pomeroy, but he had the unbounded certainty to post some suggested tips for recruiters, interview tips. And he says, don't be coy about the deal breakers like location, salary, and hours. Do you discuss those things up front with people?
Absolutely. I would say that's part of my standard questioning during a preliminary phone screen. If they, you know, here in the Denver area, some people want to work downtown, some people don't. Some people are looking for that six-figure salary, and that's a deal breaker. Why not get those out in the open early on and not waste anybody's time? We don't want to be spinning our wheels, invest hour upon hour into a candidate only to find out at the 11th hour, oh, crap, he's looking for $50,000 more than we can offer.
Okay, this is a standard question. We got Amy on the line who's an expert in this regard. What if they got you say, what are you earning now? And the candidate says, I don't want to tell you at this point because, you know, I might have to negotiate a salary if you like me.
Sure, great question. I'm probably going to get some flack for this, but I don't take the approach that whoever talks first in that conversation loses. If a candidate absolutely will not give me a number, won't paint any type of picture, I'll be the first to talk. Okay, if you're not going to give me something, then let me paint a picture for you. For this level of position, we're targeting X. There's going to be a little bit of bonus kicker on top of that. Is that in line with your expectations? Then start
playing games
in.
With it, dude. You're starting playing pin the tail on the donkey.
Well, how well, if
no
you
way.
Can't get them to reveal anything, do you just ditch them as a candidate?
Well, I mean, I'm going to get them to
what
say
if it's
something.
The resume, what if it's the resume you've been drooling over? It has every qualification that you're looking for. Man, I can place this person.
And the
you're
guy wants to play,
money?
Guy wants to play pin the tail on the donkey?
Yeah?
Well, then that's
you
not
won't
the,
play
that
game?
I'll throw his resume in the trash because that guy's nothing but problems the whole rest of the way. A resume is a resume. We're talking about the person, the relationship. Sure. Either somebody is way underpaid or they're extremely overpaid. But either way, my customers expect me to know what your salary is moving forward. So I'm going to have to know that.
You know what, Jerry? Maybe
you can tell me later on.
Josh Brents, listen to me. Maybe you've got some experience that contradicts what Jerry just said, that if you take your approach that, oh, that's too bad because the candidate has already shown you that he's not going to be manageable. Maybe you've got a different experience from Jerry, and you should say right now, Jerry, you are wrong, and I can give you some good examples. Go ahead.
I can absolutely give a good example from very recently in my quest to hire our next senior .NET developer here, and I think that's right up your alley, Jerry, if I remember correctly.
Sure.
From previous
me
shows.
And Reed Kramer out of Denver.
I'll call him a little more old school. I mean, he's been in the business for quite some time. He was very cautious about revealing anything. About salary. He did not want to go down that alley, but after a pre-screen, after talking to him, his resume, it speaks for itself. You know, this is a guy that I think would fit in great with the team here. I started that conversation first. I went into, okay, look, I understand that talking salary may be uncomfortable for you. I'll try to make this as easy as possible. You know what? Realistically, we can pay up to X dollar amount. I think for somebody with your background, honestly, we'd be targeting that. I feel that's market. We can probably add a little kicker on top of that, maybe a signing bonus or,
So you just start piling
bonus.
Cash on the guy regardless of where his salary is.
Tell
or
what happened?
Well, here's
what happened.
I'm listening.
So here is exactly what happened. So I revealed that, and he went, you know what, Josh, thank you. That kind of takes the pressure off of me. I didn't want to say what my number was because I didn't want you to throw me out just because I have a higher salary. Here's my salary. It's just shy of that number you shared. Yeah, I have more bonus that takes me above that. If we could meet somewhere in the middle and it's the right opportunity, yeah, that's a home run. So in that situation, I started first. He then disclosed the information. We found out, yeah, you know what, we're in the same ballpark. Let's keep this conversation moving forward.
However, here's where you and I agree, is you did find out what his salary is. I thought
but
we were talking about
first.
A candidate who will not tell you their salary, and you're just supposed to play guessing games the whole way through the process.
Sure.
I've had people
Jerry,
not
you know
immediately...
What you said. Hold on a second. That's not at all what you said.
No,
you said if the Walmart
you know,
won't so, give
you
the you salary,
you are such a bottom line guy. You're the kind of guy that would just hang up on somebody. That's what you would do.
You said,
I'm smooth, dude.
You're smooth, yeah. You just said if the guy
you
will
don't
get
know what I
right
said.
Immediately, throw him
out. Yeah.
Ditch that guy.
If,
those were your words, okay?
You're not giving another 30 seconds of the conversation, animal. Let me clarify then, since you misheard what I meant. No, you don't. If they say, well, I don't want to talk to you about salary right now, I'm not going to say, later, wham, hang up the phone. God. Sometimes I just think that you...
Yeah, you know what? Thankfully,
I'm not Canadian, I guess.
My audience has ears, they can remember what you said 2 minutes ago. I don't have to pursue this point. But
yeah.
Josh Brintz.
Can
I
bring something else
question. No, I got another... You want to tell us something?
Well, one other thing that I just say, one other comment on that is if somebody's not willing to give a number, then I sometimes flip it around too and just ask them, well, then can I assume that salary isn't maybe a deciding factor in your job search, that you're more interested in, you know, culture fit, location, this, that, benefits package? Just ask more probing questions to try and get them to talk about it.
I like that.
And again,
that's
just another
nice
approach
move.
That I've taken.
Nice move. I like that. Now, but listen. Let's say you tell the guy or the girl that, you know, the salary's up to $100,000. They say, great. When they get the offer for them, it's only 85 or 90.
Mm-hmm.
And are they going to, since they know what you're willing to pay, are they going to get pissed off? I always worry about that myself.
Could they? Absolutely. But I think as a recruiter, it's your job to manage that throughout that process. If the initial conversation was, hey, okay, we can go up to 100K here, as you go through the interview process and start going down the path of an offer, that's where you need to start digging into it again. Okay, now that we've gone this far and you've decided this is the place you want to call your home away from home, let's bring up the comp talk again. I had originally said 100K. Based on everything we're looking at now, it's probably going to be in that 85K range. Thoughts? Be honest. Develop a relationship with that candidate throughout that week-long, two-week-long, several-month-long process so they feel comfortable then disclosing that information at the tail end of the conversation.
Okay, so sometimes is at the end of the process, you say, look, I think we're only going to be coming in around 85 for you. Has it ever happened that's the end? The guy says, well, look, we were talking 100. I was interested at that point. 85 is no good.
Yeah. Has it come to that? Absolutely. Have I lost a candidate or two here or there over my career where something like that happened? 100%. Have I been able to turn around even more? Yeah, absolutely. I think if you can get a candidate excited about the opportunity, all of a sudden, yeah, well, we have bills that we need
them,
to pay.
You're giving them the lower salary because you're saying they don't have everything you need or they're not as good as you thought they might be or at the top level.
Or
also,
you know,
can I interject here?
Sure.
It seems to me that you're not working as a third-party agency either. You're hiring these people to your company. So
correct.
Animal, he's the one, he's hiring them to his team. So he's not working with a candidate that he then has to introduce to his customer, and the customer then says, well, what's his salary right now? Oh, well, he didn't want to say.
My customers are internal hiring managers.
So there's a huge difference there.
I don't see any difference. I don't see any difference. Amy Allen. Amy, are you still with us? Amy.
I'm here.
I'm an agency, and
yeah.
I'm recruiting for you, and I've got a great candidate. And you ask me what's his salary, and I say, I don't know. Am I doing my job?
Jerry?
Yes.
Come in and sit down. We have to have a talk.
Okay.
No, Amy, what do you think about what
Josh is saying? No, I need to know that.
Uh-huh.
I need to know salary. Now, it's the same thing for me as an internal, but we all know that I am not your typical corporate recruiter. But I don't go to my hiring managers and say, well, I don't know what he wants to make, but I guess we'll find out later.
Yeah.
No, we know going in, do we have what we need to close the
right.
Like
I think there's a big mistake there in not establishing where somebody's compensation thinking is, period.
Yep.
Well,
you know what?
Also,
Sometimes you've got a good candidate, you know, they're not committed. You say, look, my hiring manager is going to do a good job selling this person. Just go take a look, see. We've been through this many times, and I know some other people have agreed with me. I can't remember who they are. Go in, meet the hiring manager.
They're probably out of the business.
Yeah. Okay.
They're now consultants who blog about
Josh,
it.
Right.
Yeah, Josh, you want to say they're social media consultants. Josh, you wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say we're also assuming this isn't every candidate. I would say most candidates you're getting numbers from. It's just that, you know, needle in a haystack candidate that just doesn't want to talk numbers. You have to take some different approaches. But 99.9% of the time, yeah, you get some data during that initial pre-screening call.
Okay, Jeremy Roberts agrees with Amy and Jerry. Salary info is a must before presenting a candidate, be it an internal or an external recruiter.
Yeah.
SourceCon has spoken. I guess he's the king, the sun king at SourceCon.
SourceCon
whatever he
has
says,
spoken.
That's what SourceCon means, okay? He's also an alumnus of the Recruiting Animal Show. He's been a guest here. But come back to this thing. You're offering, you tell the person at the front it's up to 100, then we say, oh, well, you know what? You're not good enough for 100. How do you do that in a nice way?
Yeah. It's not an easy conversation to have. Have there been times where, you know, I throw myself under the bus in that situation? Absolutely. I know when we originally spoke, we were talking about a six-figure salary here. Do we feel you're worth that? Absolutely. But after going back to my team here, we're going to be coming in closer to this 85K range. You know what? Shame on me for misquoting the range. It has nothing to do with your skills and experience.
You're lying to the guy now, right? He's not an idiot. He's going to know you're lying.
That initial conversation, too, where if I can't get somebody to open up, I paint a picture. I don't etch that in stone for them.
This is shameful. You're lying to those guys.
Hey, is that an easy conversation to have? Absolutely not. But is it a conversation
Hold on. You didn't lie about the potential. There was 100,000 potential. You didn't lie about that. But when you have to tell them that, you know, they're only going to get 85, then you're coming back and saying, well, I was mistaken about the 100. But it's not that bad because if they were good enough, you'd be willing to pay it. But in other words, you don't have a nice, direct, sincere way to –
Is there an easy way to have that conversation? Absolutely not. I think you try to avoid having to get into that conversation. Appropriately set expectations with your hiring managers. Look, we talked about a six-figure salary. Approach them.
Yeah, but this guy.
No, no, no.
So
this is internally.
The hiring manager says, Josh, he doesn't have everything. If he had this, sure, I'll pay him 100. But I'm not paying 100 for this guy. No way. okay?
Okay, well, then that's easy. Then that's an easy conversation to have. So start it with the hiring manager. Okay, you say he's lacking this, this, and this, and this. We've done it here. You know what? This candidate is lacking this certification that we absolutely need. Let's bring him in at this lower level. Let's talk about sending him to, you know, Cisco boot camp training so we can go after that that CCNP wireless. And if upon achieving it in the next 6 months, let's give him a certification completion bonus and a bump in salary.
Okay.
Animal, here's a little yeah, you're bogging down here.
Yeah, okay, hours. Remember, the other thing Sean Pomeroy says, you got to discuss hours. I've never, ever discussed that with anybody. Do you discuss that with your people? Listen, these are the hours we keep. Are those good for you? You know, sometimes you're going to have to work overtime. You know, do you talk about that up front?
So fantastic you asked that question, because here and in most of the companies that I've worked for, absolutely not. I think treat people like professionals, let them get the job done how they want to get it done, whether that means 35 hours a week or 60 hours a week, coming in early, staying late, that's up to them. Treat people like a professional. The reason I'm glad you brought it up is one employer that I have worked for, you guys can all look at my LinkedIn profile, I'll refer to him at this point as Fish Pet Work, absolutely was about core hours. You know what? If you can't be here from 8 a.m. in the morning to 5 p.m. in the afternoon and work mandatory overtime, this isn't going to be the place for you. So it depends on the company that you're working for.
Okay.
Did you figure out the Fish Pet Work
joke?
I'm
not interested. I don't care.
Dish Network.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Now you have a testimonial on YouTube. You have a testimonial on YouTube where you say you'd never believed in psychological assessments before, but now you're using them, and you think they're absolutely great. And you have rejected candidates who you would have accepted, and you've accepted candidates that you would have rejected based on their personality assessments. Now, I also find the idea of personality assessments interesting. If someone really wants to know what, you know, cultural values the person has, you know, don't ask me. Go get the guy tested by a psychologist. That's what I think. So I want to hear about your experience with these tools, how it came that you actually rejected someone whom you thought was a good candidate, or you accepted someone who you were willing to rule out.
Sure. No, great question. So overall, my take on assessments, I don't like them. Never really did, but it's because I came up through a company that had a battery of assessments that made it almost impossible to even get a candidate in the door. They were using an assessment as a test, not a data point, and that just, it left a bad taste in my mouth. If somebody can't get a 30 on this test, they simply can't work here. I had a problem with that. So it started out very poor. Now, when I transitioned to this med device company here in Denver, they were already using an assessment known as the Caliper. It's a little bit of cognitive ability, but it's really based more on a level of job matching, where they measure 25-plus personality traits and kind of give you a level of job match that is, hey, this person is perfectly matched, this person, kind of matches, this person isn't a match. And I came in with this bad taste in my mouth, but then started using this assessment and the way we used it as a true data point, saying, okay, this candidate has almost everything we're looking for, but based on this personality assessment, they are a great cultural match. They have everything, all the soft skills that we're looking for, the personality, the sales dynamics for this role. It was enough to push them over the top. There have also been a few where a candidate absolutely bombed the assessment, but we still moved forward with them. So
How did those candidates work out? And before you answer that question, Amy, I was thinking the same thing. Do you ever say, that's not a good question? Because every time I ask a question, you say, great.
Fantastic question.
That is a great question. I'm so glad you asked that.
Bullseye question.
Yeah.
You don't have to pander to me, okay? I'm not one of your candidates. It just makes me angry.
Hey, didn't I say I always do this? This is just who I
am. You're the smiling guy.
Let's not give him a hard time.
Absolutely.
He's a Broncos fan. He's probably still dealing with that whole Super Bowl thing.
Oh, good God.
I mean,
don't bring it up.
Absolutely.
You know,
I know you're
let's
in Seattle, Amy, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you.
Let's
forget about that.
What happened?
What happened
with those candidates? Go ahead. What happened with the candidates?
So Let me give you one specific example. So this goes back to my med device days. So yeah, we were talking about the overall candidate, but let's just start with this individual's resume. PhD in chemical engineering, dual master's degrees, perfect experience, has experience working in an FDA-regulated environment. I mean, this was the resume that every med device recruiter drooled over, and got this candidate on the hook. And, you know, hey, let's talk about this place called Baxa out in Denver. It was a reload candidate. Wowed all the hiring managers, had all the references panned out, moved forward with an offer, brought the individual on board. One thing I'm not mentioning is the caliper that this individual took was less than stellar. It doesn't provide diagnosis, but it revealed some passive-aggressive tendencies, kind of a ticking time bomb type of personality where things would build up and then explode.
I want Jerry to take that test.
Well, take it.
Go
it's
ahead.
Called the caliper.
Go ahead.
That, those results of that caliper profile manifested itself in the first 6 months. Became extremely combative, especially under stress. It kind of turned into that true ticking time bomb, and that individual was dismissed. And looking back at it, we went, holy crap. That assessment pegged this person. That assessment was this person on paper.
I'm impressed. How much does it cost?
So,
do they do it online? Do they do the test online?
Yeah, it's recommended to be proctored in-house, so they can't be cheating on it, but it is an online assessment. It takes anywhere from 45 minutes to about 2 hours. It's untimed, so you can take as long as you want. But I thought that was the one place where in using that assessment.
How much does it cost? Do you have to subscribe to a program, or can you buy them one-off?
No, you can buy them one-off. If I remember correctly, it was about $100 a candidate.
That's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
No,
that's
good to
me. It's a whole lot less than a 20% fee from a third-party recruiter.
Does anybody want to comment on that? Anybody know anything about these things? Anybody who hasn't spoken yet who would like to say something? There's a lot of people on the line. I'll give you five. Five, four, three, two, one. 818, I just opened your line if you're interested in speaking, okay?
That's okay, Animal. I'm just listening and catching up.
Oh,
thanks.
Okay. California. Okay. So let's see. This guy, Sean Pomeroy, also says the same thing that Lisa Rakusik said. Lots of recruiters don't know the skills required to do the job, so there's no way that they can identify a good person. Now, you're a generalist. You've told us, you've hired everybody from fishmongers to nuclear scientists. So, how do you rate your own skills? How do you rate your own skills in identifying good people? She said, if you don't understand the job, you have to stick too closely to the job description, and that makes you look narrow-minded. You're missing good people.
So I 100% disagree with that comment, and I'll answer it by saying. So here in my role as an in-house, quote-unquote, generalist, like you said, it's all about the relationship that you develop with that hiring manager. I have direct access to that person. This isn't a customer-client relationship. This is internal hiring managers that I support. If they're not making themselves available to me to help in answering questions about, okay, dude, help me learn how to talk shop. Tell me how to answer come up with some digging, probing questions into this person's background. That's your failure as a recruiter for not developing a great relationship with your hiring manager.
Some of these
you're relying
hiring
on just
stupid,
the job description?
Okay. Some of them are just stupid. They don't know how to work with recruiters. And
well,
you know
and
what?
That's your job as a recruiter.
I've had corporate recruiters on this show and say they had to put rules in place so that they can go over the head of the hiring manager without threatening their jobs. If the hiring manager's not cooperating, if the hiring manager says, I need this guy in a rush, and then 3 weeks later you still can't get him into the interview, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So these guys don't tell me, I'm here with the hiring manager. They're telling me everything I need to know. No, they're not.
They do for me.
Okay. That's because you're so...
How do you make that happen?
Honestly, that's an easy conversation. I recently joined GTRI, so I'm still pretty new here to the team, been here a little over 6 months. That was the first thing I worked on, was developing my relationships with my hiring managers. I have a core team.
Well, give us some details. How do you do that? I have a new group I'm supporting, so I got to go do that all over again. Give me some tips.
Sure. start at the top of that group. 30 minutes, quick, informal chit-chat with the head of that organization. Hey,
yeah,
here's what
I've been... Yeah, I don't have time. I'm the head of the organization, and I don't have time to meet with you. My directs will handle that. They're going to be the hiring managers.
Well, that sucks.
Do do?
I wouldn't want to work for that company.
Yeah, sorry.
No,
so
if that VP won't give you time, okay, well, then I'm going to go to the next level down. I'll go to their senior directors. I'm going to find somebody that can give me time, because if they will give me 30 minutes here and we can work on developing this relationship, this is going to save you time in the long run. We're going to fill this position one time. You're going to have somebody for a long time. We're not going to be just constantly doing warm body hiring here. You have to understand your hiring manager. And beyond that, you have to understand the dynamics of him or her and that team. If they all go out drinking on Fridays and are all buddy-buddy in the office, you need to find somebody that's going to line up with that. And there's no way you would ever know that if you don't have that sit-down chat with them.
Okay. See, and that's interesting, because what you just said is you would go ahead and take that, all right, I'm not going to bug you, I'll go to the next level down. That's not what I would do. Just saying.
No. Well, if that person doesn't have a vested interest in that recruiting process, and if they're not going to give me their time, well, then I'm going to spend my time with somebody who's going to give me their time and their time, the time of the day.
But also, Josh, would you not agree to some degree that if that senior person is unwilling to give you time, the argument can be made to him, to in one way or another? Amy, your thought here is, yeah, well, look, if it's so important to you, make the time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's our job to show them the value of saying yes, just like you do with candidates. Very few times are you going to get a yes on the first try. So I think it's our job to continue to go back and say, I don't think you understand the purpose of this 30 minutes I'm asking for. And, you know, because it is important to see that high-level person. It is important to talk to the person that sets the strategy for the whole thing.
Sure.
So
I can agree with that. I suppose I would back – if this is the CFO of – Fish Pet Work, or whatever I called them, I understand that individual's time is very limited. But if I have to go down a level, I would in that situation. But similar to what you guys just brought up, if they're not interested, if they simply don't understand what that time, what the time you're requesting is for, I think the best thing to do.
Let me ask you a question. You've made some moves as a recruiter, and so we've identified, you know, access to the, you know, the hiring managers and their managers. When you go in and you're getting interviewed as a recruiter, is that a question you have to say? Look, if I come in and I'm working on, you know, this position, do I get a half an hour with the most senior person and then with direct manager? Do you ask those questions when you go in and you're being interviewed?
Yes, no. I think overall that's the. I think we can boil that down to that's just a part of a company's culture. Are they a culture that's very open door, that you have direct access to the leadership team?
No, but you just
said, look,
I can't work. You know, everybody's saying I can't really work with somebody who's not going to, you know, if it's important to get the right people, they have to spend time with me. So you go in and tell the recruiter, I don't know, if you were recruited by a recruiter, I think Amy's been recruited by a recruiter. Do you go in there and say, look, you know, do you guys – give me time. I mean, for real. Don't just say it. I want to know, because this is what I'm going to need. I want time with you. I want to ask you these questions. And that's why it's really important, and I can't do a good job if you just toss me a sheet of paper and say, go, fetch.
No. So I can't say that I've ever had to ask that question and ask about that, but absolutely do I feel that's a good question to ask if maybe that's a hesitation you have. Does recruiting have a seat at the table? I mean, is the recruiting organization well-respected? Do I have that direct line to the CEO or CFO or VP if I need it? Absolutely, I think that's a very valid question to be asked.
Let's move on. You raised the issue about, you know, going out drinking on Friday. These are cultural issues. So do you actually ask those specific – are there specific questions you ask the hiring manager about, you know, these cultural practices in order that you can find out if they like to celebrate birthdays and they play softball together and they, you know, they go out once a week for, you know, happy hour? Do you ask those specific questions and then you take those questions to the candidates?
Absolutely. That's part of my kind of the hiring manager questionnaire that I kind of go through in my head when I'm scheduling those first meetings to start building that relationship. You know,
what
describe
questions?
In your own
what
words.
Questions?
Okay. So here's a few. Describe in your own words what your group does. You know, explain the bigger picture of how your group fits into this company. Describe your group's environment, energy, dynamic. What makes your group operate successfully? What does a typical work week look like for you? Are your guys all working, you know, coming in late, working late, coming in early, leaving early? Are there specific times of the year that you guys get busier other than others? Understand those things. What do you guys do for fun? Do you go out to lunch all the time? That's part of my standard spiel when I'm talking to a new hiring manager.
Okay, and when you are interviewing the candidate, how does that figure in your screening process?
Well, listen for hints and cues there. You know, what's important to you in your job search? List out some of your top criteria. You know,
but if they don't
listen
tell you
for
whether they like, you know, baseball or drinking or, you know, parties and stuff like that, what if they don't tell you? How do you get that information from them?
Yeah.
But you already know what the hiring manager said.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get some flack for this, but a standard question that I ask in all pre-screening questions is, what the heck do you do for fun?
Okay.
You know, outside of being dedicated to the job and, yeah, hey, you love coding and this and that, what do you do when you're not in the office? I like to get a feel for what drives people, what gives them a reason to live, I suppose.
You have an example of how that's, you know, factored into a hiring process for you for any specific person?
Absolutely.
Like, I know a guy, like, for instance, Sean Pomeroy says don't waste time don't waste time on hobbies and irrelevant topics. They won't tell you anything worthwhile. I know a guy who used to always ask about hobbies because he felt that would show the energy level of the candidate. If the person was a triathlon athlete, like Chad, who was on the show a little while ago, what's Chad's last name?
Balby?
Something like that. Chad Balby.
Chad Balby.
Yeah, the guy likes triathlon.
Let's say that's it.
He must have a lot of energy, or else he's exhausted himself. That would be something to worry about. So if you look at his hobbies, you can tell something about him. Like, what is it that you've actually seen from looking at people's hobbies and stuff like that that is worthwhile?
So hobbies on a resume, I don't necessarily think that's the place for them, but I think with that question I just mentioned, what do you do for fun? You can get a lot of info out of that. So one example, fairly recently, what do you do for fun? And you were giving me grief about my Twitter bio. I think I even mentioned this. I play beer league softball. This candidate happened to mention they play beer league softball. Look, it just gave us something to talk about. During the summers here, we have a beer league softball team at work. That was something else to bring up. Hey, well, great. You like beer league softball? Do you have a team? Okay, well, we actually are trying to field a team here next summer. I'll make sure if things work out, we include you on that those communications. If somebody says they're into athletics or charitable giving, volunteering, oh, great. Let me tell you about our volunteer programs here. We do a lot of work with Habitat for Humanity and X organization. We did this fundraiser here recently. It gets them excited about the culture of a company, and then you can continue to dig into that and see how it lines up with the team that you're hiring for.
Okay, Diamond Dave says, I won't dwell on this, with hiring managers, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make them drink, okay? Just are you getting a little feedback from Twitter. Okay, you know, we're getting close to the end. Is there anything that I haven't raised that you think you'd really like to talk about before I just continue with my questions or ask for more from the peanut gallery?
I have a question.
Okay, Amy, go ahead.
How do you set expectations with these hiring managers?
What expectations specifically? Like an SLA,
tell me.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of what I focus on. Do I have a formal, you know, SLA agreement that I sign with them? No. I've actually worked for an organization that did that. But, you know, I kind of set up next steps. Okay, well, thank you for investing this 30 minutes in me. Here's what I'm going to do from here. You've given me a lot of great information to go out and start building a slate of candidates for this position. I'll do all the initial pre-screening. I'll send my top few to you, maybe for a closer review, and then we can talk about next step. step, next step. So I like to set a lot of those expectations. Hey, this is what I'm responsible for. This is what you're responsible for. The one thing that I really try to hold my hiring managers to is, you know what, if I get a fish on the line, if I got a candidate that I think could be a great fit here and certainly has the skills and qualifications we're looking for, you have to commit to me that if I put that candidate on your calendar or if you just want to see a resume to start, you're going to get me feedback quickly. And I'll hold them to that. And if they don't, I will bug the heck out of any of my hiring managers who I'm waiting to hear back from.
Okay.
What do you do if they don't? What if they do if they just kind of blow you off and they're just kind of 80% of the managers that promise, you know, you can lead them to water, but you can't make them drink. And they just, oh, yeah, I mean, can you ever stop working with that person?
Ever stop completely working with them? No, and I think that's your job as a recruiter to continue to push as much as you can. But it becomes challenging in some of those situations. I think you can only do so much as a recruiter, and if truly you have a hiring manager that is completely unresponsive, as much as I hate to say this, well, guess what? Your rec just made it to the bottom of the list. I have more important things to work on because I have other hiring managers that are willing to give me their time.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Do you close your candidates? You said you do pre-closes. You all along the hiring process, you discuss salary and things like that with them. When it comes to the end, if they're resistant, do you push them? Because somebody said, this is a quote, I'm not going to try to convince anybody to take a job ever. What about you?
Man, if I'm going for just a yes or no, that's tough. I would lean toward yes. I will lean toward yes. It's not my job to force somebody to take a position. I think throughout the hiring process, you should be developing kind of what a pretty good idea of what it's going to take to land this candidate. And after putting that offer in front of them, if they're still not happy, then I don't know what else you can do. It's not you can't force somebody to put their signature on a dotted line. And if they're going to begrudgingly accept an offer because you forced them into it, I just don't think that's going to be off to a good start.
Okay. Has it ever happened?
Has it ever happened?
Yeah, it turned out.
Absolutely.
Right question. Fantastic question.
Fantastic question, Animal. Let me tell you, that is just an amazing question. I'm so glad you asked that. has it happened? Absolutely. Is it frustrating as heck for me as a recruiting professional and all of you out there? Yeah, you want to pull your hair out, which is another reason that I tend to keep it pretty short. There have been situations where I do start to dig in a little bit more. Okay, I thought you said if I could get you this offer, you would sign on the dotted line. What happened? What changed? Did your current employer catch wind that you're kind of testing the waters and promote you? Did they throw more money at you? What has changed between our last conversation and today that has changed your mind? If it's family related, I never get into it. I have a lot of candidates who, pull out of I can't say a lot of candidates, but I have candidates that pull out of a selection process because something changed in their personal life, family commitments, things like that. I never push on those things. But if all of a sudden their number changed a little bit or they're looking for, I don't know, more flexibility in this one area or some added job responsibilities, those are things you can work on pretty easily. So yes and no. It's tough to answer and just give a one-sided answer to that.
Mm-hmm. I had a question, but I forgot about it. That was a counteroffer. So you mentioned, you brought up, you sort of asked the guy, did your own employer, get wind that you were looking and give you more money? What about counteroffers? How would you handle it? Yeah, and he said, yeah, you know what? I'm leaving because I wanted more money, and he gave me a raise, what I was looking for. What would you say?
So my personal advice to anybody I'm talking to, whether it's a candidate or a friend about a counteroffer, never accept a counteroffer, in my opinion. All of a sudden you've already set yourself up for failure with your current employer. They know you had one foot out the door. If I was running a business and I knew that my best sales guy had one foot out the door a month ago, I'm going to do my best to work on a contingency plan to replace that person on my terms. So do you really want to set that up? I think there's a different way to go about that, and I don't believe in counteroffers, ever accepting a counteroffer.
A recruiter does, but it's sort of self-serving because we don't want people to.
Of course.
What if it's a counteroffer sorry, Josh, what if it's a counteroffer that's not money? What if it's actually solving the problem?
Well, then...
Because I would argue that most companies, their only recourse on a counteroffer is money because it's an easy thing to do, but it does not solve the underlying reason you were looking for that for another job. So what if they say, okay, we can't give you money, but we can do these two things, and that actually solves the issue?
Yeah.
It's rare.
Well, in that case, as a recruiter, I think you're SOL. The reason you were able to reel in a candidate in that situation in the first place is because something wasn't going right. Well, if that employer all of a sudden corrects that, it doesn't matter how excited they are about GTRI or the company you represent, I think you've probably lost that battle. And unfortunately, you've lost that candidate.
Mm-hmm.
What if somebody tells you that their reason for moving is money? Is that okay with you? Some people don't think that's somebody they'd like to hire.
Yeah. Some people, money is the most important thing. That doesn't dilute their skills and qualifications if they're good at what they do. Does it resonate well with me? No. If somebody lists money as the only reason they're looking, a bit of a red flag. Is it going to be – am I not going to talk to them? No, I'll still talk to them. But I like to – find candidates, and this is the vast majority of them, who list money pretty far down on the list. You know, it's more about the opportunity. It's about the culture fit. It's about the people.
Yeah, they know they're supposed to say that. They know they're supposed to say that. You really never know, right? The money guys, or at least I think they're the most straightforward, because they're the ones who say something that's not politically correct, that, you know, you're not supposed to say. The other guys say, you know, they might be telling you the truth, but you don't know, because they're saying the thing that's the polite thing to say. Sorry, 5 minutes left. What about getting referrals? Do you know how to get? Do you squeeze them out of people? Do you get them?
Do I squeeze them out of people? I wouldn't say I squeeze them out of people. Do I provide a little more of a white glove treatment to any referral I get so that I make sure they send me more people? Absolutely.
Let's say you're talking to somebody and this person says, no, I'm not interested in the job. I don't know how you contact people if they all – there's only 5 minutes. Like, we didn't even get to talk about job boards. But let's say you have an ad. Somebody applies. You tell them about the position. You know what, I'm not interested. And so you say, well, do you have anybody like yourself you could refer to me? And he says, no, I don't know anybody. And you say, don't give me that. You know somebody. And before I spent the time, you know, you better tell me or I'm gonna be very unhappy. Do you ever, you know, twist their arm a bit?
Do I take your approach to that? No. But have I used other tactics around that? Absolutely. It's pretty easy to, you know, I've self-funded this before. It's just a few gift cards here or there. But, hey, if you just flip me a name of somebody that you've worked with before, I'll send you a $5 Starbucks gift card.
$5 a person's going to do that for you? $5?
Hey, it's more than nothing, isn't it? You throwing $5 bills away?
That's an insult. Yeah. We're 4 minutes left. Anybody got a final question for our friend here? Who's been a good guest? I'm glad I met you, Josh. You sound like a great guy. Go ahead. Anybody got a question for him?
Quick question. It sounds like you spend a lot of time with these candidates. I was just curious, what kind of a rec load do you currently handle? And how much time are you actually spending on each of these interviews?
God, what a question.
Wait, I forgot. No, he's right. I want to ask everybody now about the four-minute interview, right? So question.
I am not a four-minute interview kind of guy. My initial phone screens are typically 30 minutes on average. If we're bringing a candidate in house for an in-person interview, I'll spend an additional 15, 20 minutes kind of doing a wrap-up with them. I invest a lot of time. Now, here, we're a smaller shop. This is not a high-volume recruiting organization, so at any given time, I'm actively working on 10 to 15 open positions. I've been in roles before where I've had 60 open recs. There you can't spend quite as much time. You have to be a little bit more cut and dry, black and white, boom, 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 here are the questions, give me answers, we'll move on to the next step. I prefer being able to be a little more involved. I want to add more value than just being a resume shop. I don't want to just funnel resumes to hiring managers. I want to actually provide some insight into this is why I think this candidate's good and why.
Blog Talk Radio. What's that? Somebody else's Blog Talk Radio. Okay, look, that's, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff. You'll have to come on again in a few minutes so we can get to. I can't imagine how someone can work 60 job orders at one time. It's just beyond my comprehension. I'd like to know about that.
It's called email.
Yeah, okay.
In a database. If there are similar profiles, it's not that hard. It's a lot of work, but it can be done.
Maybe. I admire Nahez, okay? I think he's...
I didn't say I didn't. I just
Detroit
said he can handle 60 reps at a time, man.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's got
great.
More people working for him right now. Yeah. Okay, Josh, you've been a great guest. You can't continue. We're going to the after show. That's what Jerry runs. They talk about us. You and I can't be there. But I'd like you to come on again because I think it is. Thank you!
Yeah. Here we are again.
Absolutely.
Is that Andy?
It is.
Andy Gregory?
I'm here, dude.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Hey,
that was
ready?
A great question. That's a great question. Oh, you.
Before we actually jump into the animal show, after show, Andy, would you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing lately? I mean, what's... What's going on in Andy's world? Come on.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on a two-hour delay. It's turned into a one-month delay. So,
it's been a little
snowy here, so I believe I'm developing some traction.
There you go. No, man, my one-hour delay today.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I had, and I'm sure that we have some Democrat, liberal, left people, even perhaps on this after show, and that's cool. Okay, we love everybody. We are a big tent after show. But I did have one of my very dear liberal friends, and we've been pals for 30 years. She's great. Wholeheartedly explained to me that this whole polar vortex is absolutely due to the ice cap melting. And she gave me this analogy. Normally, with thick ice up there, it's like an Olympic skater when they get into that real small circle and they're just, you know what I mean, spinning real fast. As the ice is melting up there, the skater, if you will, the vortex, is slowing and reaching its arms out further and further, slowing down and covering the entire northern hemisphere with the cold air that should be hanging out up there, but there's no ice to attract it.
I'm going. Hey, Jerry.
Oh!
Jerry, I hate to say it, but maybe it's just...
I thought it was Bush's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe it's just God doesn't like the East Coast.
That could be.
You know, for those of us with kids, we just felt it was Elsa. Perhaps you haven't seen Frozen. Sorry.
Oh.
I'm really sorry. I could wear shorts today. I have no sympathy.
That's cool.
I had to wear a light jacket, and it's a little windy.
I saw my breath for a couple seconds at 5:30 this morning, Amy. I'm just, you know, I'm sorry. I'm going to go work on my tan.
Well, here's a problem, okay, a real problem of it being so cold. We are on a propane shortage.
Yeah, you are. You're screwing me out here.
Oh, screwing you.
We can't barbecue, Al.
No, it's that because of the shortage, everything's going to the East Coast, liquid natural gas and propane, there's a shortage on the West Coast. You know, dude, my barbie can't light, okay?
Right. Well,
I got to use coal, okay?
Propane is typically $1.79 a gallon. Mm-hmm. Each month I'm using about 500 gallons here in the winter.
Ooh.
Got a big-ass house. I, long story short, you know, I'm using more than my fair share, I'm sure. However,
Al Gore would be so disappointed.
Now, and luckily this new order, it's down a little bit. They limited everybody. You could only buy 100 gallons at a time, and you could only get it when you were under 20% of your tank full. The last batch I bought was $5.89 a gallon. So that would really jump my heating bill from like $600 a month to $2,500 a month.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
You better get Reed to get that office open. We got to get some revenue happening for you, man.
Yeah, I like the idea of a Denver office.
So
I don't know why
getting off Twitter has helped you with your heating bill.
Yeah, indeed.
Oh, what? Okay, yes, sir.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know what some people who really are on like a much tighter budget, what would they do if their heating bill is an extra $2,000 this month? Because that's what mine is.
Jerry, you're hitting on a more broad-based thing where the whole energy issue, and I really think it's all to blame, we need to blame the Trilateral Commission, but I'm not a conspiracy theorist. It's just for every dollar that you have to pay extra for propane or us or anybody in gasoline or what have you, it takes it right out of the economic recovery.
Oh, it clearly does.
And
see, we can't get natural gas here. There's no pipeline. It's only have the truck come fill up your tank.
Mm-hmm.
You get 400 gallons,
mm-hmm.
and that lasts me about a month. But now that it's so cold,
mm-hmm.
God, I'm telling you, it's cold here, really cold.
It does suck. But let me change it around. What's your property taxes?
$3,000.
Okay, Amy. On three, I have no sympathy for you. One, two, three, I have no sympathy for you.
I have no sympathy for you.
people. It's about keeping my children warm.
No, your
not
children, no,
that.
Jerry, see, there's your problem. Your children have to be tough. You got to breed them tough. You got to raise them tough. They got to learn how to work in this environment.
Yeah.
All right. What did you guys think of the show today? Amy?
Oh, Josh. You know, he's
smiley guy.
He's so nice. He's just a heck of a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice guy.
Good guy, nice guy.
Yeah.
Kind of a job hopper. If anybody took a chance to be, you know.
I know, me too.
He will
move on.
Can't
fault him for that.
I mean,
he will.
Okay,
he will.
That,
it was a little Mr. Rogers for my taste. I wasn't expecting that from the Animal Show, but he was nice. He's a good kid. I'm really sorry about the Broncos. I wish we could have talked more about that.
That was a bad game. What did you think about that, Andy?
It's a great game.
Did you know that game was going downhill from the first snap, Andy?
I was cautiously optimistic. It was about the third quarter, and my husband says, you can stop freaking out. It's a mathematical impossibility that they come back from this. And I said, okay.
It's true, unfortunately.
Andy lives in Indianapolis. He was sad to see Peyton go.
Yeah,
hey, we had great
I love
food.
Peyton.
We had great food at the party here. It was it really had no vested interest. It really didn't matter. So I'm glad.
Oh, what kind of didn't matter? We were all rooting for Peyton. Okay, Peyton.
Well, I wasn't.
Remember that lady that sat back behind you?
Oh,
here's her. Peyton.
But he's not retiring. Is he? Has he decided to leave?
I don't know.
Yeah.
No.
But
all right,
Josh
does say
that he is a Broncos fan on his Twitter bio that apparently Animal helped him write. So that's what made me think of it.
He was a good kid.
You know, I'm going to give him 90. I'm feeling generous.
Man, hold. I'm going to have to send out some kind of a bulletin or something. To every show now gets like 90s.
All right.
Come on. Let's critically look at this stuff. Did that guy deserve a 90? If so, then that's what I'm writing down. But be a little less promiscuous, okay?
And my 8-year-old
okay,
is named
Amy.
Josh, and I just see his little face, you know.
Yeah,
like,
little smiley Josh.
Can't be mean.
Okay, great. Okay, 90.
90.
What about Animal?
I'm going to give Animal a 72, the two extra points, because he had such great questions.
Yeah. I thought the show just went on and on, rambling.
It was a little long.
He wasn't jumping and cutting them off, like, okay, we get it, next question. It was, I don't know.
You know, and I think Josh, too, and this is a common theme with some of the newer guests who haven't done their time in the puppet gallery.
Yep.
I think they want to be liked.
Yeah.
You know, they come on the show and like, hey, I'm a nice guy and let's be friends. And, you know, people like me, we just come on the show like, let's fight, you know? Come on.
Yep.
Let's do this. A little scrappy, but, you know, that's just his style maybe.
Well, it's also that his only job outside of corporate was with Robert Half, so you know, for you know, so we really can't. That's really not a real firm, so you know, I mean,
yeah. He's been an internal HR recruiter guy.
Yeah, so his scrapping, you know, Amy would be kind of a Mike Tyson two punch, and he's done if she really got into it with him.
I was trying to be nice today.
And I've always felt as independent recruiters, we're more Robert Half asses than we are Robert Halfs. Sorry.
Andy, since it's such a rare treat to have you on the after show, give us a score here.
You know, I don't even know what to say. I mean, I tweeted the animal there I thought he was kind of either an absolutely or an absolutely not guy. Am I going to say that? Yes, I am. He was kind of a pattern guy. He kind of fell into these. He would answer his own question, which is, do you like people that answer their own question? I don't know. Do you? I don't know. So, I mean, it's kind of tough for me to deal with people like that. Is it tough for me to deal with people like that? Yes, sometimes it is. Do I have propane issues? No, I don't, because I don't have a propane tank other than on my grill. So, absolutely.
My propane issues should be everybody's propane issues. I tell you what, Obama has expanded our exports of propane twofold. Throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Problem.
You know, I'll just go,
you
know,
can't,
I'll go
you can't blame Obama
I'll
on that.
Go,
you
I'll just go 75-75.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Andy. Yeah, I can blame Obama.
Well, you can blame him, but let's be honest. I don't care if you blame Obama, Bush, whoever you want to blame, Jerry, but at the end of the day, it's the oil companies, and if they can make more shipping and off than they can here, they're going to do it.
There ought to be a law.
I hate to say it. I know the utility business. They're capitalists.
There ought to be a law.
This is where I do want the government to step in. The one time. Right here, right now.
Hey, if you go to propane.gov, you'll be fine.
There's a task force set up to make sure that there's no gouging.
Okay, can we just, I know it's off topic, but that Obama's going to save recruiting article on recruitingblogs.com.
Oh, God.
It's crazy. But here's
what
the deal.
What actual fiddlesticks was that?
Who wrote that, Amy? Who wrote that, though? I'm going to have to check that out. I saw you tweeted that.
Recruiting Blogs is tweeting it as a check out our featured article. I mean, they just tweeted it an hour ago.
Yeah, neat.
You know, someone better call Matt Charney and tell him to tell whoever to stop that, because that's just, that is a horrid, horrid article. And Matt, if you're listening, dude, tell the guys up top at Recruiting Blogs to pull their head out.
It was so bad.
Got it.
But if you really looked at it, you knew where it was either completely gibberish or he was using Obama and a few things to get people to read it, not realizing hey, I got people to read it, but oh God, I just put out Ishtar. Oh my God.
Yeah. It was like drunken blogging at its worst. I don't know what.
But the whole time he's typing it, he's thinking, this is the best shit I have ever done. See, that's the problem right there.
Well, no, the problem was whatever he was smoking he thought was the best that caused him to say this is the best shit.
Could
is
be.
He's got to buy some better stuff.
Colorado? Maybe I should check that out. I don't know. It was beyond comprehension for me.
Well, now I got to go read it.
Is there anybody else on the call? Michael Cox?
Yeah, Jerry, give him...
Hey,
I'm
down here. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, hey, sorry, Alan, what's your score real quick?
70 to the guest, 72 to Animal. I didn't catch all of it. I like Animal's questions. He was a little... The guest was okay, and regarding his job hopping, I think you're going to start to see more internals job hopping as the economy keeps recovering and prices start going up. I think it's normal.
Okay. All right. Duly noted. Michael Cox, what's on your mind?
No, I thought it was a decent show. I think he answered more of his own questions than anybody else's. I kept hearing that, and it once you hear it once or twice and it just starts sticking out, he just kept, you know, asking questions and answering, you know, his own questions. But I thought it was okay. Yeah, the job hopping, when I was looking at his LinkedIn profile, was, you know,
raising concerns in regards to exactly how experienced he is?
I bet he's pretty good at getting the job, getting an offer. Like, you know, I mean, he could probably go get another job and explain everywhere he's ever been. He's a smiley, you know, guy, and it seems like what he was saying makes sense, I guess. You know, he's happy about it, so it's cool. You know,
hey,
it's all good.
Hey, Jerry,
welcome
aboard. I apologize
aboard,
really
know?
Quick. I apologize. Michael Cox, are you with Dayhill in San Antonio?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to send you a quick invite.
Cool.
Thanks. Sorry, Jerry.
So anyhow, I thought he was a decent he was a decent guest. I don't think we learned a lot. A lot of what he said certainly did make sense. I would love to have that kind of time. Aside from you know, a quick lunch every couple days and the recruiting animal show, this is it's just constant. And I just don't have enough time to go in depth with candidates the way he was describing. My call initial screen is no more than half an hour long, and I'm on to the next one at each 30-minute spot if I'm booking my calendar properly. But,
yeah.
That's as much time as I can spend with somebody, and then, you know, I'm kind of trying to get some interview notes down and doing it quick and sometimes ugly, but, you know, I've got several open requisitions that I have to work on. So, but I'd say he did fairly well. I'll give him a 70 and I don't know, 75 for animal.
All right. I'm going to give him a 77. An animal gets about a 70, I think, for this. It was flat. Nothing new. Nothing highly controversial. No big arguments. I mean, there was nothing that really spiked the meter on any particular thing, you know. It was all kind of like, you know, 1 hour
standard
of that same stuff. So, yeah. All right, guys. Well, it's time to get back to work and, you know, start hammering these people.
Thanks, Jerry. Have a good one, everybody.
See y'all.
Stay warm.
Bye. Animal would like to know, Michael, have you had any success with hiring from your talent network or talent pipeline or talent communities?
We have hired 15 people as a result of the pipeline, and I know that we're adding 4 or 5 more this month. So I think that's successful. Really, it shortened our time to fill, our cost per hire, the cost of turnover. We've done it all, and I think 15 hires is a good start in the first 6 months.
Thank you, Steve. It was great.